listening to Chew the Fat with Chef Craig Hartman. Tonight is a great night in Charlottesville. By the way, you're listening to the theme for the TV show or the movie Pink Panther. And, you know, when I was the chef at Fawcett's at Keswick Hall, there was a great man, George Melvin, who played the piano, a really great man, and my friend. He passed last year, but every time I walked into the dining room, he would play the Pink Panther. He told me that every great chef needs background music. So that's why we lead in with that, if anybody was even thinking that. And to our listeners tonight, remember, Chew the Fat is the podcast where you go to learn about chefs. You learn what makes them tick, how they became successful, what kind of things, you know, hit them in their life that ended up propelling them to where they are today. And so it's, I find it interesting. I hope you think it's really cool and interesting. By the way, my mom thinks this is her favorite podcast. So folks, you know, that has to mean something. Tonight we are excited and elated because we have one of the finest Chinese chefs in the entire world with us. And his name is Chef Peter Chang. You know him from having his restaurant here in Charlottesville. We know him from the articles in New Yorker. And we're just, like I said, we're very excited. You know, Chef Chang is the winner of a national championship for all chefs in China with a... you know, kind of an Iron Chef style food competition. And, you know, that's a big country. It's rich with history. I think it's interesting because most of us don't really know the background, and we don't understand what kind of training. We're going to learn that tonight. And so without further ado, Peter, how are you tonight?
Hey, thank you. 我跟他在夏洛斯热非常非常的...
Go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, Peter said he was very happy to come back to Charlottesville.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, people were so excited, Peter, when you came back to Charlottesville. We were reading, oh, Peter Chang's coming back. And then they'd say, oh, maybe not. Oh, and the next day, Peter Chang's coming back. Maybe not. But then when you finally came back, you know, people were very excited. And, you know, I got my first chance to taste your food on Tuesday night with my wife. And it was the best Chinese food I have ever eaten in my life. And I've eaten a lot of Chinese food, but, you know, yours was had that special feel about it. And I just want to say real quick, we have an interpreter tonight, Jin Lee, who is also a master chef and a very good, close personal friend with Peter. So, Jin, nice to have you here tonight.
Thank you. Really honored to be here.
Cool. So, Peter, I think what people want to know, because you're like the chef that everyone loves, but they really don't know anything about. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So my first question is, Peter, where in China did you grow up? What area and what was it like?
Peter
born in November 63. In a very, very small village.
在那个小,
in Hubei.
在湖北的那个小山村里面呢, 我生活了18年。
He lived there for 18 years.
那个, 当时在那个18岁的时候呢, 就是那个第一次走出那个山村, 到了那个武汉市, 湖北省那个省会城市, 武汉市。
He never lived the small village until he's 18 when he go to school in Wuhan. That's the first time he see the city.
Oh, wow. Wait, before we talk about the city, did anybody in your family give you any inspiration for becoming a chef?
他说你的家庭有没有人让你说想要做厨房做厨师？
嗯，当时厨师30年以前，当时那个厨师在中国是不是地位比较低，地位比较低的，一般的人不太愿意做那个厨师，包括我的家人，包括我的父母和我的弟弟妹妹都不愿意我做厨师。
He said he wanted to be a chef because he just wanted to get out of small village called a city.
well, let me ask you, your small village, what did people do there for a living? What was their main way of making money?
种地还是什么？你的家乡？他们怎么靠什么生活？
哦，我那个家，当时我们家乡的那个非常的贫困，靠那个种那个水稻，找那个水稻的那个非常那个过生活。如果我不学那个厨师的话，我只能在那个小山村里面种水稻，所以我都不可能够到那个大都市里面去见识那个更多的那个朋友和更多的那个机会。
He said if he go to a big city, he would be farming all his life.In a small village, just a lot of Chinese farmers.
And what city was the first city that you went to, Peter?
He said, you first
know the city, Wuhan, right? Yes, I first went to Wuhan City, because at that time, after the high school graduation, I went to Wuhan City's cook school. This is my first time to Wuhan City.
Okay.He was applied for the school, for the cooking schools. That's the first time he got accepted to school.
Sure.
In Wuhan, that's what he...
And the name of the city was?
Wuhan.
Wuhan. How many miles from his village was this?
当时那个交通不很，交通不发达，坐那个长途那个汽车要得12个小时。
About 12 hours on the bus.
Wow.
这个当时的那个是1981年9月份第一次到武汉。
Wow. Go ahead.
Okay. And in September 81, that's the first time you see the city.
Wow.
It took 12 hours.
So how did you feel when you get off the bus in the city? What was your first feeling in your heart?
怎么样？他说你第一次看到城市到下巴士的时候。
哦，当时那个像我们农村的孩子能够到武汉市这样的大城市了，就像到了天堂，到了天堂那种兴奋啊，是非常非常的。
He said he was so excited like he's going to heaven.
That's awesome. So now you were accepted to a school for cooking in that city. Did you report that first day? Did you go and did you actually live there at the school?
你是不是住在学校里面还是怎么样？
当时我们吃住全部都在学校里面，但是由于我们的从农村出来的那个钱，那就是经济比较困难，所以我们的吃的很差，吃的很差，因为没有更多的钱来
的，
所以这不是那个是学校食堂里面，所以我们就是在那个学习和了解的过程当中，就是发誓要自己的那个。把那个厨师这个专业啊，能够学的更多，就是给自己的和别人做更多的好吃的菜，因为当时的话，生活太艰苦。
Yeah, in early 80s, in China, still very, very poor country. So,、
right.
when the beginning, they live in dormitory, and the food is very, very bad. That's why he said, one of those days, he will be a best chef to learn the best food, also for everybody, cook for everybody.
Oh, wow. Wow. So the school, were there some very good chefs at this school, or was it not so good, the school?
他说那些老师好不好？
老师们对我非常非常的好。
他们好不好？他们教了，对你教他们技术怎么样？
因为当时我们那个没有任何的技术的基础，没有任何的技术，就是老师的从最基本的那个动作开始教起。
He said this teacher is very good, but the time he's learning for basic, so he can really know, you know, is a very good teacher, but they know they take care all the students.
Right. How many hours a day did you go to school, and how many days in a week?
那个在整整场的上学呢，我们是那个一天是那个六节课，每节课是一小时，就六个小时。然后呢，那个我们自己，我们自己的就是练那个刀工，练那个刀工，练那个那个炒过的那个，那个一天一般的至少我们自己在放学以后要练三个小时。
The class could be like 6 hours,
right?
And other 3 hours he had to pick up himself in the kitchen, you know, try to learning how to cut in everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did the school have its own restaurant, or did he have to go out and work in other restaurants?
学校没有餐馆，但是学校有那个实验，有那个实习的教室。
School don't have the restaurant, but they have cafeterias, you know, for them to learn to cook for themselves. You know, if you make mistake, you eat it.
但是他那个教室的是，就是在一个没有食物的情况下，就是你比如说我们切那个刀工啊，也是切报纸。用刀子来切那个报纸，练那个刀工。那个翻就是中国的那个翻锅的是那个锅里面装那个沙子，装那个沙子来练习。
Yeah.
You see, even when they're learning, when they're cutting, that actually is no, okay, say onion or potato, they don't have it, so they had to cut with a newspaper roll up or some paper, something like that.
Wow.
Because, yeah.
Wow.
It's a very, very hard time.
没有珍贵的食物来给了我们来做，但是只是说一个星期只有两节课的，只是做那个他教给我们四个菜，就是那才是有机会，就是按照食物按照做菜的那个菜。
Only once a week, they have one class of real food they have to cook it.
Wow,
and that's it.
That's incredible. Now, did he have to pay to go to this school, or was it how did he get paid for?
当时我们那个上学的是国家的那个国家招收的那个学生，所以是国家招收学生，不是要我们自己出一分钱，都是由国家给钱给我们上学，但是那个学费很低。
Well, that was a government support. Okay,
sure,
so
sure.
Everything's for government.
Yeah. So while Peter was in this in this school, Peter, when you were in the school, did you have time, you know, after class to go around the city, and did you have enough money maybe to even eat at any restaurants?
你有没有时间到外面去玩玩了，去吃点东西啊？在你在学校的时候，你在求学的时候，你有没有时间说到外面去走走看看呢？或者外面吃吃别人做的菜啊？
哦，这个是必然的，也是非常必要的，因为在学校里面呢，学不到什么那个太多的东西，学校里只是学的基本功，但是我们呢，就是说，到那个餐馆里面去，义务帮人家打工，义务帮人家打工，边打工边学习，边见识那个菜样。
哦、oh, ，He was a maybe like free apprenticeship, okay.、
Sure.
No pay, but
right,
just go there、
right.
to help out. So an exchange for the food, that's it.
You know, that's it.
但是那个我们没有钱吃那个菜，
yeah.
我们只是当那义务帮人家做工才看到这个。
我说就。
You know, I folks who are listening out there, I wish that you could watch because.Peter's very animated, and you know, he's chopping vegetables with his hands even as he's talking. So I think this was a really cool education. Was there one person at the school, a chef, an instructor, who inspired you or taught you things that you've never forgotten?
你有没有认为哪一个老师对你最好，对你影响最大？
哦，那个学校里面有两个老师对我的，对我的帮助非常非常的大，也就是因为他们是那个当时是全国的那个在全国是很有名的那个厨师，有两个老师。
He said, "Do have the two teachers, you know, help him a lot、
sure.
because they saw him make a very good potential, and he really to learn."
Yeah,
yeah. So they give him a lot of help.
And Peter, did you have something? like in your heart or in your head that you knew that you were going to excel or become excellent in your trade? Was there something that you had in your heart? Something was a work ethic from your mother, your father, your family, or just something, you know, in your heart that said, you know, even when you're just cutting paper, you know, you're cutting paper, something that you said in your head, you know, one day I'm going to make it. I'm going to be a great chef.
就说你会变成一个很成功的人，在厨子。随着我对那个专业的了解的越多呢，那么我当时呢，我就在给自己那个立的志向，就是一定要做一个非常技术很高超的，同时也是在全国应该是也有名气的这样厨师。我这是我的志向。
He always want to be like, you know, one of the professional chefs.
Sure.
Because when they come in from very poor, so he want to serve the best food for the, that's always his goal.
Yeah. So, and I was thinking because, you know, if you're working with not food for 6 days a week or whatever, that maybe in your mind you could say, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. Maybe this isn't for me. Did he ever doubt during that time, or did he always say, I'm, you know, have that drive? You know what I mean?
他说你有没有失望过，就是说你没有办法用正式的材料来做，做你的材料，你每天就是在这边训练，你是不是觉得很辛苦，很困扰？因为那个在中国的这个厨师呢，这个行业的是一个
基本功非常讲究的这么一个专业。如果说你基本功你不学好的话，你不可能够有很大的发展和提高。所以刚开始学这个专业，必须要从把基本功要练得非常非常的好，你才能够那个在实际的工作当中呢，才能会有很大的发展。所以这是。
He said in Chinese cooking, the knife skill is most important.
Right.
So wherever take it, he would think, you know, he had to go do this.
Yeah.
You know, to make it be famous.
So he had that mentality mm-hmm. where he knew that everything he was doing was for a good purpose, which is really nice.
他说你的意志力就是说想到你总会那个成功的，对不对？因为这像那个做那个像那个学那个专业，也就是像做那个高楼一样的，是啊，从那个。 每一块砖，每一块砖开始。那么我们现在做这个专业，也是从每一个翻锅的一个动作里面，把它做到位，就这样子的。我觉得，如果经过这么时间的那个，我想我一定能够做到一个比较，能够达到一个比较高的那个水准里面去。Yeah,
he realized that the foundation is very, very important. So that's why the skills, you know, knives, all prepares, everything. That's why he was, you know, he willing to sacrifice to do all this.
That shows kind of a special attribute right there in a person like Peter. Now, so Peter goes to school, you know, he's learning, school is finished. What happened when he finished school? What was his next step in the career?
当时的那个，我在学校里面的读了2年半，也就是说从1982年9月进学校，到2004，到那个1984年2月份那个毕业，3月份进入那个邮轮。那么这个过程是由当时我们说是国家分配，但是由用人单位他们去挑选，所以直接进入了那个长江邮轮。那个当时那个船。
Well, Peter was very, very good on schools at the
sure.
top 10. So that's why in China at that time, the
right.
government tell you where to go, what
right.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they also, they, a lot of good companies, they will come pick
sure.
the best students. So that's why Peter get picked by the Yangtze River, the river boat.
Oh,
river
yeah,
cruise.
Sure, the Yangtze River
yeah.
cruise.
They come and pick him. He was one of the best.
Wow. So you were on the river, on the boat, and where did this boat travel? What was the route?
从哪里到哪里？扬子江。
哦，这个有点从武汉到重庆，从武汉到重庆。
就
武汉到重庆，但是那个经过那个长江三峡，风光非常的，因为当时呢，就是很多那个世界各地的很多的那个游客都坐我们的船。
湖北，
湖北武汉，对。
Okay, the riverboat he served from Wuhan, that's the Hubei province, to Chongqing, that's the Sichuan province. Okay, they by the that's the most famous
stretch, the most famous stretch of the river.
Mm-hmm. And most famous people from the war, you know, they all attend there. That's why he had the chance to meet it.
Right. So, you come from the farm. You know, from the small village, you go to school. Now, all of a sudden, here you are. You're on the boat. How did you feel? You know, the first time you put your hat on and your coat and your neckerchief for the first time on the boat. How was that day? How did you feel?
经过了两年多学校的学习，同时呢，也就是对我们的专业，对于那个大城市武汉市，让我们都有一定的了解。所以，当时呢，就是感觉能够进那个豪华的流程上面工作，感到非常的幸运，感到非常的非常的幸运。
Yeah, Peter was feel so lucky. He said, "Well, he been chosen there, so he was very excited."
Sure. Now, Peter, did you live on the boat? Did you?
你就在那个游轮上面。
Yeah.
And so you lived on the boat, and then what was your schedule like? How many hours a day did you work?
多少个小时？
哦，那个一天都要十个小时以上。十个小时以上。
About 10 hours a day.
And then did they start you like preparation, you know, just cutting, or did they put you on the walk? Where did they place you when you first started?
你开始的时候，你的职位是什么？做什么工作？
开始最基本的杂工，就是杂工呢，就是说那个洗菜呀，切菜呀，就是source crew是最底层的那个。
And that time he was so happy being peeling onions.You know, wherever it takes to clean up.
And the chef, do you remember the chef? Do you remember his name, your chef?
你还记得不记得那时候你的大厨是谁？
哦，我的大厨是就是我的师傅，那个
是你的师傅，
是湖北省的名厨，是湖北省的那个就是非常有名的那个厨师，就是我的师傅。对。
The chef that time was a very famous chef, and also.His personal teacher, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his model, yeah.
What was his name? The chef?
他的名字叫什么?
Li Xianqi.
Mr. Li, Chef Li, yeah.
Mr. Li. So, when you were on there, did you get a chance then to watch, you know, the people that were on the walks and everything? Did they give you a chance to not only peel the vegetables, but, you know, to observe what was happening in the kitchen?
那你他说你其余的时间有没有时间去就说注意研究人家怎么做菜的跟什么
我们当时那个正常的工作时间呢一天呢是在六个小时左右但是然后呢就是自己练习那个菜同时也就是做更多的材料的准备工作就是那是自己自愿的而不是说他们要求我这样子但我只自己给自己加班自己的时间呢，那么这一期呢，也就是说在研究这个菜肴怎么做，而这个时间的话，一般的每天呢，就是要达到四个小时以上。
You see, his regular schedule is like 6 hours a day. Another 4 hours, he will volunteer to help other chefs to prepare the foods, you know, to watch, to do all the.
Sure.
因为如果不这样子的做，那么那个在学校里面。在学的东西太少，你就不能够很快的适应那个实际的工作。
If he don't do that, he will not get promotion. To, you know, very soon and learning more.
Now, did you get a promotion on the when you were working for that company?
你什么时候升级的？
就是那个一年半以后。
Year and a half later, he got promotion.
当时考的那个是第一个是三级厨师，在在中国大陆的那个厨师级别是三级厨师，就是第一最低级别的厨师，然后就是二级厨师、一级厨师，就是慢慢的往上面上。三级厨师是最低级别的厨师，
okay.
就是一年半。
Yeah, he got a, you know, he would join the exam, and then he was he got a license to be a cook, but a cook.
Oh, cool. So now, how many years did you work on the boat?
你在做了多少年？
我在那个游轮上面，游轮上面是知道也从那个1984年三月份到1998年那个六月份才离开，
14-15年，
对，是将近15年。
About 15 years he worked in a riverboat.
And what was the final job he had working?
最后一个工作是什么？最后一个工作离开的时候，你升到哪里？
哦，然后那个我是那个。到北京台湾。
那你最后在游轮离开以前那个工作你做了什么等级？
哦，那我就是那个一个是那个就是在那技术级别的时候技师，同时的我就是那个大厨。大厨，那个游船的大厨。
He was an executive chef and he passed the exam as a master chef.
Wow. So that was a big time for you. 15 years.On the boats, and can you give us a couple experiences you had on those boats, like a memorable meal, people you cooked for, something that was just you will never forget your whole life?
你认为你值得你记忆的，就是说有什么大人物啊，或者有什么好，就是说特别特别的那个经历，在那十几年里面，
在那十几年里面，那个我那个感觉最好的就是每一次那个给客人，给客人，我们有个那个欢送，一个欢迎宴会，和那个最好客人快离开我们船了以后的一个欢送宴会。当这两个宴会办完了以后，就是客人对我们那个宴会评价非常非常好的时候，才自己感觉了这个，就是自己的对自己的专业啊，就是我自己跟那个，就是我对我自己专业。比较满意的时候，也就是这样的，就是，当这些那个比较比较那个的，比较是，就是我们的比较反映我们水平和档次这样的宴会办完了以后，并且说出来客人的那个非常欢迎，这个样子才感觉到非常的。
You see, most memory is like when they had welcome ball parties, you know, and all the guests could be very happy about it, you know, and they always get them the compliments on the.They always had a welcome party, and when they before they leave, they have the dinner too. Yeah,
sure.
So, you see, that's make me happy.
就是呢，在这个四五年里面呢，就是呢，我的那个在93年的时候参加全国烹饪大奖赛，获得了获得了就是全国组织的那个烹饪大奖赛里面，我获得了一块金牌，一块银牌。93年。
Okay. Yeah, he said in those years, in 1993, he attended the.Capital Beijing, have the competition. He won one gold for and one silver. The gold for the appetizer, silver for the hot main entrees. That's make him so happy.
Yeah, of course.
并且呢，那个在那个全国的那个那个厨师那个杂志上面，我也发表了70多篇那个专业论文。
Yeah, and he got a lot of you know on the professional magazines.
Sure.
Yeah, he has his opinions always, you know, you write like about 50 or 60, you know.
So he really, you know, going from, you know, the village to the school and then going to the company, the boat, what would you say, Yangshu? How you say?
Yangshu
River boat.And then from there, he really, we say cemented, you know, he got the foundation for his career. So when he left the boat, what was the next step in his career?
你为什么离开？你下一个到哪里？
那个当时，离开的，因为呢，就是到那个温室的，就是那个，温室有一个那个，四星级的白玫瑰大酒店，就是聘请我们到那个里面这个当大厨。当时离开这个船呢，也就是时间待得太长了，就是工作好像没有什么挑战性，就是到那个新的地方，就是跟自己就是增加更多的那个机会。
he was feel like he's not going to be challenged anymore after 15 years.
Sure.
So he wanted to change to a different field. So he was someone recruit him to four-star hotels and be a chef. Mm-hmm. And that's why he decided to go there.
And what city did he go?
Wuhan. Also in Wuhan.
Sure.
And 在那个地方呢，我也待过了那个一年半以后，又到然后就到了北京。
Okay. He stayed there for 1.5 years.
Right.
Then he go to Beijing. Yeah.
And in Beijing, what did you do in Beijing? It's also, for 15 years you were on the boat, but did you get a chance during those 15 years? Because now you were probably getting paid, right? Now you finally were getting paid. So did you have a chance to take vacations throughout China to try other cuisines?
从那四五年里面，你有没有机会再试试别的东西啊？有没有去休假去玩一玩啊？
那个四五年的过程当中呢，因为我们那个船呢，那个每一年要停那个四个人，
嗯，
那个冬天要停四个人。那么这四个人呢，我到过了上海、北京、那个重庆、成都和那个广州，这些地方都是自己去学习，是那个。当然，那个到那个时候的自己的经济条件，经济有能力，所以呢，就是吃去学，就是寻找这专业的朋友们就互相交流。
Okay, he said on a riverboat was like every winter time, like 4 months, and they had off.
Okay.
Yeah. So that time he got to go to all the big cities, and that time he got a little money, so he was trying all the different foods,
sure.
different cuisines. Yeah.
Was there, during that time when he went, was there a meal he had maybe from a certain chef or a certain restaurant that changed him, that he thought, oh, wow, this is special, maybe, and it maybe inspired him to do different things?
你想还有别的什么大厨，就是你吃了就看了，对你最有影响的，影响最大的。
哦，那个当然，那个，你像那个，当时我们到上海。到上海的那个徐正才那个师傅，他的那个很多那个菜对我的启发很大，还有广州也有很多的、那个。
他什么菜系呢？
哦，上海的时候那个淮扬菜系，
嗯、
那个广州时候的为广东菜系，所以那还有到成都，还有那个就是成都就学那个为四川菜，所以我们现在我以那个四川菜为主，当时就是在重庆和成都学过来的，那个有很多我拜了很多有名的师傅作为我的老师。
Well, that time is like every year he got 4 months, so he traveling around, and he made a lot of famous chefs.
Sure.
You know, like Shanghai style, okay, so Cantonese style, and finally he liked the Sichuan style. That's why he had the famous Sichuan chef.
Yeah, sure.
Teach him that all. That's why he
concentrates on the Sichuan cuisine. So you're in Beijing, a very beautiful city, right? Very beautiful.
Yeah.
So where did you work in Beijing?
你在北京在哪里做？
在北京台湾饭店，王府井台湾饭店。
The restaurant in Taiwan restaurant, Taiwan hotel. Yeah.
Yeah.And how many years did you stay there in Beijing and how did that experience help you grow as a chef?
当时在那个北京，我待的时间是一年不到，然后呢参加那个中国外交部那个厨师选拔。参加那个比赛，我考的成绩非常的好，然后呢就有那个外交部把我派到那个华盛顿 DC 那个中国大使馆的工作，所以我只是这样子才离开了那个北京。
That was a chance. He stayed there less than a year, but it was a good opportunity. In China, it's most good jobs are always government tell you what where to go.
Yeah, sure.
So it was a foreign ministry. They try to pick someone, you know, to come in the United States to serve it. And he was one of the best. That's why he got chosen. That's why he came in the United States.
So Explain that now. How exactly did he come to the United States? You said the government?
The ambassador.
Okay. So, and that's when you became chef in Washington, D.C. for the... So Peter comes to Washington to be the executive chef for the ambassador, which is a huge compliment, right? In China, that's the big compliment. Do you remember flying to Washington?
你记得你在坐飞机过来的时候，你的心情怎么样？当时感觉的话，只能从你的心情怎么样？ 心情有点来了一个新的环境，新的环境也不知道自己能不能在这边工作得更好，所以心情比就是因为我们那个时候我没有很大的一个底气，当然主要是对这边的情况不太了解，所以当时心情并不是。并不是很好，但是我很有信心，就是在一定的时间之内能够将自己的工作能够做好。
He thinks he's very, it's a mix. Like he's very exciting, but he's also nervous.
Sure.
You know, can he do the best job? But he says he will try to do the best he can.
Yeah. So, how was that? What did you find to be the most exciting part of the job being the chef for the ambassador? And I know that the embassy, right, is, mm-hmm. did you work, is a very beautiful embassy in Washington, right? How did you, what was the most exciting thing about being chef there?
你有没有什么好像认为最留念、最好的、最兴奋的是在那几年里面，你在那里面工作了几年？
那个在华盛顿DC那个中国使馆的工作了两年，这两年呢，那个就值得纪念了。那个我们呢，就是参加了接待那个中国国家当时那个中国国家副主席胡锦涛，现在的那个国家主席，他们党委会的第一次访问，这个呢，我们参加这个接待，然后呢，也多次接待那个美国国会的参议员和议员们和以及政府的一些官员们。 当时的那个做完了以后呢，获得了他们的高度评价，所以感觉呢比较。
You say was a Chinese leader was forced time to come in the United States, and he had to stay dinner, but you know he make the stay dinner for all the senators, Congress or state departments.
Yeah,
he was very happy.
What can you remember? A dish that you made for that state dinner? Do you remember anything in special you made?
就是说你做了什么菜给他们？最最记忆的。那个当然，他们其实到这儿来访问的吃的东西呢，倒并不很复杂，但是一定要新鲜啊，干净卫生，然后呢就是要营养。
Well, they don't have the special request, so that's even harder to have to
him
to
he has
make
to think
sure
about
everything
it.
For safety, fresh. You know, good qualities. You know, they don't have very, very special requests. Yeah,
sure. So, how long did you work in the embassy?
2 years.
And so after the embassy, then you started your move around different restaurants, right, in Virginia and Georgia, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
And Tennessee, right, I read, and Tennessee. And now you're here in Charlottesville. Now, most of the people know the part, you know, about you being in Washington and different restaurants, getting some very good press, you know, up there, and then, you know, going down to, you know, here in Charlottesville and everywhere. So they know all of that. So now we're going to talk, you know, about you're here in Charlottesville. How do you feel about Charlottesville? I mean, how do you feel in your heart about this area?
你的心里面感对 Charlottesville的感觉怎么样? 他说，为什么你会就是说到了到这里来，准备留在这里，你对这个城市的感觉怎么样？
当时那个是通过朋友，介绍我到 Charlottesville，他说的 Charlottesville 没有一家那个正宗的中国菜的餐馆。 所以我当时我就希望那个让我的正宗的中国菜能够让美国更多的朋友了解，所以同时呢，这个城市有很多人都非常的想吃那个正宗的中国菜，所以这样的一个当时呢就是那个开第一家那个餐馆的时候，就是我们得到受到了很多朋友的欢迎，所以我们就非常非常的热爱这个城市。
Well, when he was in Northern Virginia, you know, and he met friends in Charlottesville, and they told him that Charlottesville is a very, very friendly city, and they are dying for real Chinese food. So he said,、
sure.
well, that's why he's coming down. He hopefully he can serve everybody the better food.
Yeah, yeah true enough. So do you think Charlottesville in America is your home, or do you hope one day to go back to China?
他说你是不是有一天想回去，或者现在就是这个是你的家，你以后的想法怎么样？
我要的想法，我们就是希望那个以夏洛特维尔作为我的家，然后像 Richmond 和华盛顿 DC 包括那个马里兰的一部分，我们希望在那个地方开有那个代表Peter 特色的这么一个餐馆。
Well, his goals, he want to be an ambassador of Chinese food. Okay,
sure.
Sichuan cuisine. He want to be like more cities or spread out. You know, hopefully he could have a rich opportunity in Richmond or Northern Virginia open another locations.
Sure.
That's what his goals.
So,
其实现在也有很多很多的那个美国朋友们希望我们到华盛顿 DC、Richmond 和马里兰那边开店。
Sure, sure. Yeah, we understand Maryland. You know, you said that very nice, Peter. Very nice. So you're hearing it here. You'd like to do some other projects to bring the Sichuan cuisine to the people of this Mid-Atlantic region, and it's beautiful, beautiful cuisine.Tell us how, now, you know, just a little bit of philosophy about cooking. If someone were to say, what makes Peter Chang different than other Chinese chefs, what would you say?
如果人家问你说你的菜跟别的这个大厨不一样，你认为你有什么跟人家不同的地方？
首先我就是原来在学校里面学习的，我的基本功学的非常非常的好，这是那个是我以后有发展的这么一个前提。然后呢，在那个30多年的那个厨师的这个生涯当中，我们也拜访了很多的名师，从他们那里学到了很多的那个专业的知识。
He said he always wanted to do the best he can, so even with the day one when he was apprentice, right? He learned how to cook, and he had very, very solid foundation.
Sure.
Okay, and then he always have open-minded, you know, to looking for the better chefs, and learning from better chefs. That's why he think he can be at good chefs. That's because he's a mind.
Sure.
同时呢，就是我对我自己的要求，就是要么就不做，要做的话就一定要做得最好。
He think if he would think, you know, if he want to do something, he want to be the best he can.
Which is a fantastic mentality for someone. Now, with being in Virginia in this area, do you like the ingredients that are here, the fish, the crab, the meat, the vegetables? Is it something that inspires him and...
通过你当地的食材，你认为好不好？像海鲜啊，什么农产品啊，你认为这边的东西对你的？
在夏洛特维尔的当然那个做菜有在食材这方面受到了一定的限制，但是我们会在从纽约和洛杉矶这边要进一些食材过来。
OK。Well, we try to use all the locally the products.
Sure.
But it's a lot of spicy or everything. We still have the specialty from Los Angeles or New York City, you know,、
sure.
because they had an important import company.
Right,
yeah,
right.
就现在的像进这些原料的、因为交通比较方便也比较容易进来。
You see, now it's pretty lucky because,、you know, the transportation is very good, so he can get wherever he wants.
Pretty much anything, you know. Anything he ever wants. So what、is the difference between, or what is the special attribute about Sichuan cuisine compared to the, you know, Cantonese and Mandarin? What is Sichuan? What is the special attribute?
四川的特色是什么？为什么四川菜跟别的地方不同？
四川菜它那个最大的一个特色就是麻和辣的结合，同时四川菜特别讲究那个香味儿。
Okay, Sichuan cuisine, the most important is hot and naan, that's called mala style. And they use a lot of spices.
Yeah.
That's what makes the difference.
它那个菜的那个特点就是说你可能不太喜欢，也许你不会喜欢吃，但是你吃了以后对你的影响可能是非常非常的深刻。
You see, maybe some people can take it.But if somebody really like it, it would be like, open you, you know, you would say, wow.
Yeah, it'll make your head explode, right? That's why you have a dish hot and numbing,、
uh-huh.
right?
Because they're too hot, so you need a numbing to numb in your system.
Okay, I'm going to try. Next time, I'm going to try hot and numbing.、
Yeah.
Okay, so Peter,、you know, we've learned a lot about,you today and your story is very interesting, you know, coming from a very small village, you know, from the farm, working your way up the school, you know, working in the hotels, coming to the embassy, and now here in Virginia, where, you know, we all feel like we're lucky to have you. Very interesting story. Is there anything else about you that you want people who listen to our show to know about Peter Cheng?
你还有希望他们就说所有的这些听众想要就说你想让他们知道你就说你还得你的这个、就说你这个本人你希望让他们对你还什么了解的、Okay, one more question.
Yeah, so what I mean is if he could say anything to the people listening、
mm-hmm.
Is there anything else he'd like them to knowabout, and it could be about the restaurant, it could be about, you know, him and his family, it could be just about his philosophy about food, things that people would like to know if they say, oh, Peter Cheng, he is the guy who, you know, wants people to have the most beautiful, you know, that kind of thing. Is there something that he want that he would like people who are listening to know about him?
他说就这些听众你希望他们对你知道是什么、嗯、就是说比如说他到餐馆了你会好好的做菜给他们吃啊，怎么样就是说你的感觉你会对他们
We call this a tough question、
yeah. 你希望跟他们讲几句什么样的话就是说欢迎他们到餐馆来怎么样、
今天是第一次在这个机会跟各位听众们见面我非常的希望你们多到 Peter Cheng 的餐馆里来做客，这第一个是对中国菜增加了解，同时也是对我们的工作就是那个更多的知识，同时我们也会把更多的那个中国菜带给各位朋友们。
Peter wish you know everybody have a chance, you know, coming meet him or coming to try his cuisine, so he will do the best he can and best he wanted.To make everybody happy.
Hey, cool. Well, look, Peter, thank you very much for talking with me tonight.
谢谢谢谢谢谢
And folks, for all of you who are out there listening, what you get is the sense, you know, of someone who was very serious about his education, building his foundation, learning from other chefs. And now, you know, you have an opportunity.To take this body of work and background and go to the restaurant It's on Barracks Road in Charlottesville, by the way. And go to Peter Chang. Folks, you have just getting to talk with Peter tonight, I know for a fact that, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to communicate, you know, with the language barrier. But, you know, what we've learned is here's a person who is passionate and they just want to do the best every day. And I've always told my young chefs that if you work every day to be better than you were the day before, imagine how good you're going to be after, you know, 20 and 30 years. And so we have the opportunity to eat at Peter Chang's restaurant. And I want to thank Peter. I want to thank Jin. You guys are great. And folks, this has been Chew the Fat. Reach out. Let us know how you feel. And I'd like you to, this time, you know, reach out on chewfat.net, chewfat.net, because next Wednesday I'm eating a special Peter Chang dinner, and we're going to pick one person who writes in about, you know, food and how our podcast is and gives us some good advice. We're going to pick one person and invite you to come and have a Peter Chang dinner with me and some of the other chefs in town. And I think this will be really cool. So, folks, you've been listening to Chew the Fat with Chef Craig. You can find us on chewfat.net, and you've been listening probably in at seavillepodcast.com. So, folks, Craig Hartman out.
You might have heard this before. I know I have. 'Cause this song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant was never the name of a restaurant. That was always just the name of this song. And I guess that, well, that's probably why I still call this song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. I wasn't gonna sing the song tonight, or this decade, but I realized sometime earlier this year that it had been 26 years since this come out as a movie, and it was 2 years before that it came out as a record. And it was 2 years ago on the record, which means it was like 30 Thanksgivings ago, 30 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice didn't used to live in a restaurant. She used to live in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they used to have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. Seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, found the place was filled with garbage, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the town dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the town dump. We got there, and there was a sign, a chain across the road, and the sign said, "Closed on Thanksgiving." We had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And so with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset, looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we come to a side road. And off of the side of the side road, there was a 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff, there was another pile of garbage. We decided that one big pile would be better than two little ones. And rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie. I cannot tell a lie."